Well, good morning, friends. It's good to finally be with you after all this time. It was back in December when we were introduced to one another, and then the decision was made to come and work together. And because of our condition, we had to our son had to graduate high school, and fortunately, the brethren in Beaver Dam let us work that out. And then, of course, I went overseas for a couple of weeks, which was the fourth year in a row to do that. And so it's a very important work, and I appreciate you supporting that as well. But anyway, I'm glad to finally be here. And I'm thankful that after 6-7 months of delaying, that we finally are together. And I'm very humbled, very honored, very excited, very grateful that my wife and I have our children here with us for this moment. I've always felt like the greatest contribution she and I can make to this world is our children, and they're some of the finest people I know, and I'm grateful that they're here. I hope you get to know them, and vice versa. But I am. It's amazing that it's finally here. Vita's granddaughter is here, and she said, are you the brand new preacher? I said, yeah, I'm the brand new guy. I pulled out of the box this morning. I'm just brand spanking new. That's me. And I know I've already decided this is what's going to happen. You're going to leave here with one of two impressions. You're going to leave with the impression like, I'm excited. This is going to be exciting and there's so many good things ahead. Or you're going to leave and say, I waited 7 months for that. So I know that's a possibility. Okay, I understand that. But I've prepared myself. And I'm telling you, my wife and I both, we're just so excited to be here, honored again. But just, I'm telling you, I hope you appreciate what's here. There's so many good things in place. I love the things I've heard in class, the comments, the teaching. I love the things I've heard in service. So many wonderful things in place. And it's going to get better. I am just so convinced that the Lord's brought us together to do much good. And that things are going to get better. And I'm just so optimistic. And if you're lacking in that, I'll loan you some because I've got plenty of it. I just know things are, they are. I'm just convinced of that because I think it's the Lord's work. And I see that in you as well. I know that there are people who are anxious and excited. We've got to keep things real though, okay? I mean, it's going to take time. Growth takes time. And I understand that and hopefully you know that. But I do, friends, thank you so much. I really do for your kindness, all the support you've given us so far. I mean, one of the benefits of waiting so long is that I have been able to get to know some of you, and it's been a very good thing. And so many of you have been so generous, and I thank you. And it just it means a lot to be here. It really does. And so many people have been asking, you know, what's your first sermon going to be on? And it's just basically this, moving forward. I say that because I think that it's an important thought for us to have, of course, individually. I mean, I'm convinced, as we'll see here from Paul, that that's a good way of looking at life, of just moving forward, you know, learning from the past, taking the lessons we have from the past, and then going forward with God. But I think it's also good for us as a church to think like that, because whenever you're in a situation like this, one of the things we're all inclined to do is compare. You know, I'll be compared to Josh. You'll be compared to Beaver Dam, at least is the expectation. And what I'm here to say is that that's not healthy. I mean, we're neither good nor bad. We're neither better nor worse. We're just different, okay? I'm not better or worse than Josh. I'm different, and vice versa. You're not better or worse than Beaver Dam. You're different. We're all different. And what we can do is learn from the past and let's just move forward. Let's just move forward and embrace the opportunities that God has before us, not only as a church, but like I said, especially as individuals, because I believe this is a thinking that we are to have that the Apostle Paul adopted and lived by that I believe would serve us well in our walk with God with whatever time we have left. That we have to have this mentality of moving forward, of reaching forward and continuing to grow and excel and develop and utilizing our blessings and talents and resources for the Lord. And it's based on what we see from his thoughts in Philippians chapter 3. Let's see if that works. In Philippians chapter 3, where he talks about in verses, I'm going to go 12 through 14, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And he goes on to say, "Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind." And so Paul didn't spend any time just, you know, celebrating the victories in the past. He didn't just remain focused on that. He says, look, I'm going forward. I've got to keep going forward. And he says, everybody who has the right attitude and the mature outlook is going to have that same thinking. Let's just go forward. Go forward, of course, in our life with God and living for God. And there are a few ways I want us to think about this morning, if you would, that we need to move forward or reach forward in having faith in Christ. That from this day forward, we're going to go forward with Christ. And that's a beautiful opportunity he's given us. That as Jesus talks about in his teaching, is that it's possible for a person to be born again, to have a brand new start in their relationship with God. And I would encourage us that has to be our thinking in our relationship with God, that we can go forward with faith in Christ, that we can go forward in a new relationship with God, that our sins, obviously, can be forgiven, and they need to be forgiven. None of us need to remain in our sin. And so we can be forgiven. The Bible says that God is rich in mercy, that he's ready to forgive. But in Ephesians chapter 2, this great text on being saved by grace through faith, he says in Ephesians chapter 2 that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So he says that God is rich in mercy, that he's overflowing in this. That you're not going to you're not going to exert all of God's mercy. That he has an abundance of this. And he is truly ready to forgive us. And so I would encourage you that if you're here and you have guilt, you have fear, you have separation in your relationship with God, that things are not what they should be, and I don't know. I mean, you have to look at it yourself. There is no reason in this world. Every single one of us should not leave this building right with God. There's no reason for that. That he's made it possible for us to be saved from sin, that we can start all over. We can be brand new. That things were not what they should have been or supposed to be in our relationship with God. Well, he's rich in mercy. He's overflowing in this stuff. And so he's ready to forgive. He's ready to be restored to us. He's ready to be right with us. And so move forward. Move forward with faith in Christ. Trust him when he says he is ready to forgive, and go forward with that. I think we need to move forward with Christ because he deserves that. He's worthy of that type of devotion from us. And really, to appreciate what Paul says in Philippians 3 about reaching forward, you need to look in the context, and he's talking about how he had accomplished much and had quite a pedigree as a Jew. That, in other words, he was well set up. Okay, he was set up to advance in the Jewish community, to excel, to have all types of accomplishments, accolades. He was primed for this. But when he learned the truth about needing to serve God through Jesus Christ, he was willing to throw all these things away. But you have to look at his pedigree here, because this was something that was enviable. This was something that was necessary to have if you're going to excel in the Jewish community. And for anybody who thought that he didn't give up anything, he says, I beg to differ. Okay, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I could have trusted in the flesh. I could have trusted in my past. Circumcised the eighth day. And that, of course, is different from somebody who would have been a convert to Judaism in their adult years. And then, no, Paul says, I was born into this. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, he could detail, he could go through his genealogical record. He could pinpoint where he was from. He was of the Jewish bloodline. And that was significant. I mean, we see something similar today. You know, if you want to be president of the United States, you have to have been born in this nation. You have to be a citizen of this nation. And so you have to have that bloodline, that association, if you will. Well, Paul says, look, I was right there. I was right there, a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law of Pharisee. I was well established. And so I was set up to have all types of success in this machinery, if you will, in this outlook of life. I was set up to do that. But he says that he was willing to sacrifice all of that in order to serve Christ. Now, what's significant about that is that not every Jew was of that mindset. You might even recall how in the days of Christ, that there were those who had heard him teach, they saw his ministry, and they could see that he was from God. Even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Because, it says, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. In other words, these were people who would have loved to have the things said of them that Paul could say of himself. They would have loved that. Because it set them up to have all types of praise from fellow Jews. And yet, it says that these people, when they could see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, they weren't willing to acknowledge him. Because they'd rather have the praise of men than the praise of God. Well, Paul said, I don't want that. I could have had that. But I laid it all down. I made that sacrifice. And in fact, he says, I didn't just not trust in them. He says, I counted them as trash, as rubbish. What things were gained, going back to Philippians 3, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all these things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Why, Paul? Why would you take a legacy like that, which Jews would love to have, why would you take that and throw it away? Why would you count it like refuse and trash? He says, it's not because I'm losing something major. It's because I'm trying to gain something even greater. That I may gain Christ. And so that's why he sacrificed all these things. He sacrificed all these things so that he could be found right with Christ and, of course, ultimately find eternal life. Now, his point is that, okay, that's great, but I've got to move forward. Okay? That I'm not going to live for these things because Christ deserves our devotion. He's worthy of that. Look what he sacrificed to bless us. Jesus, that is. And so I should be willing to make that same sacrifice because Christ offers us something far better, is what he says in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 23. That as great as it was to have the praise of men and the support of men, which he had. I mean, even the chief rulers were giving him support to go and persecute Christians. I mean, he had support of the people who had authority in that community. But he says that I threw all these things away because he understood that being with Christ is far better. Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 23. And that's true. It is far better. I mean, we can look around and see that, right? We can see the people who trusted in fame, who trusted in the support of men, who trusted in materialism, that it's not there. I mean, even recently you had celebrities, and it doesn't happen. I mean, it happens quite a bit, but even recently you had celebrities who took their life. People with fame, people with money. You know, the one that just took his life recently, who had just filmed a show and then went and took his life, or even Kate Spade, who had tremendous success in her industry, her business, in fashion. In fact, we had to pass through Hawaii, my son and I, in connecting flights. And, you know, driving there through Waikiki, there it is, Kate Spade on a major street. And I mean, there's just no telling how much that store is worth, and all those stores, very valuable things. She had all that. Fame, fortune, and it was not enough to satisfy the soul. And you can just go down the list. There are people who have found the very same thing, that it's not there. Fame and fortune, it's just not there. And so Paul understood that there is something far better. Why would I trust in men? Why would I live for men? Why would I prefer that over the approval of Christ? He deserves something better. And so he moved forward with faith in Christ. And I encourage us to do the same thing. He goes on to say in Philippians chapter 3 that he was moving forward or reaching forward because he wasn't in heaven yet. And that's why he had to keep working, and that's why he had to keep persevering. And that's why he says in Philippians chapter 3, notice again, he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Why was he reaching forward? He was reaching forward because he wasn't in heaven yet. Elsewhere, he said that he died daily in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. And what he's trying to teach us through these verses is that going to heaven, friends, is a daily commitment. Going to heaven is a daily decision to keep God first and to be with Him. And that while we're here in the flesh, anything can happen. It is very much possible that even though he sacrificed so much to put the Lord first, it was still possible for him to lose his faith. It was still possible for him not to make it all the way and get distracted, which happens. Now he goes on to talk about in Philippians chapter 3 that there were people that he was crying. He says in that very same context, Christians, people who started out down the same path. They made the same choice I did, to come and follow the Lord, and yet they did not keep their calling. Many walk, he says, Philippians 3:18, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Now I've got I know it's naive, I understand, but it's still a desire. That one of the things I hope to see here is, because I've done this will be, I think, the fourth time I started working with a group. And obviously, you know, you learn some things and you see some things you don't want to see again. And I don't mind telling you, one thing I hope I don't see is that because we have a good number here, and we have faithful saints here, that in time, some will fall away. I've seen that at every place I've been, and you've seen that as well, I'm sure. People who were faithful, people who were serving the Lord today, are no longer serving the Lord in the future. And I'm hoping not to see that. I'm hoping that I can do my part to encourage you, to love you, to persuade you to keep your mind on things above, and vice versa, that you will do the same for me. But reality is, not everybody who starts this journey is going to finish it. As much as I would love to think that everybody, even in this room, is going to be in heaven one day, reality is that it's very much possible for us not to make it. Some of us may not make it. And it's not me just preaching doom and gloom. I'm sharing with you the Word of God. Paul said the very same thing. That many, he said, many who started out are no longer serving the Lord. Or even as Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, that we've got to go back and learn from history, especially Bible history, that he tells us to remember Lot's wife, Luke 17. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. Well, what did he mean by that? And of course, the great story is that Lot and his family were told to flee Sodom and to not look back. And they traveled all night. His wife was by his side, or at least was in the group. She made the decision to leave Sodom. But when the destruction came down, and they had already traveled all night, she decided to look back. Doesn't say why, but she did. She looked back. And she became a statue or pillar of salt. And Jesus tells us to learn from that woman. Now, why would he say that? He tells us that because you and I are capable of doing the same thing. That we can make the great sacrifice of coming out of the world to put our faith in Christ, to be saved by him, to count it as rubbish and trash, the things we had before Christ, and make all those great sacrifices, and yet not keep our heart and not keep our faith and our focus on the Lord, and as a result, look back to the world, go back to the world, and meet the same fate as those who never left the world. Remember Lot's wife. And so that's why I encourage us with this thought. That's what Paul lived by. Look, hey, yes, I did lay a lot down. So what? I've got to keep reaching forward. I've got to keep moving forward. Why, Paul? Because I'm not there yet. I'm not in heaven yet. Friends, you and I are very much capable of still losing this thing. Now, we're doing the right thing here in coming together to be reminded of our Lord's mercy and blood and being edified in the body of Christ. That's what he wants us to. So far, so good. That's great. All right, well, let's stay focused. Let's keep going forward. Let's keep reaching. Because we're not there yet. And finally, I'll say this. We need to keep moving forward or reaching forward because there's still so much to do. There's still so much work to do that we can accomplish for the Lord. And so that's why we should still keep going on. You know, it is possible for people to think, I'm old, okay? I've paid my dues. I've made my sacrifices. Let someone else do it. Okay, I've done my part. Let someone else do that. And what I would encourage us to realize is that that's not the attitude we need to have. That's not the philosophy we need to have. Instead, our thing needs to be that I'm going to give God my best with whatever time and energy I have left. I'm going to give him my best. Because he deserves my best. God deserves my best. That's my understanding. That's the way I view this. That it's not just a young man's game. It's my opportunity to serve the Lord uniquely with whatever opportunities and blessings and talents he gives me. That's the thinking of somebody who loves God. You can go back, a lot of good stories in the Bible. But there was that story of when David had sinned, okay, and the people were being punished as a result of that, Jerusalem, the plague, and all that. And David is, of course, he's pleading for God for mercy and for help, and God tells him to make this sacrifice. So he had to make a sacrifice to stop the plague. Well, in the story, it says that the man who owned the land that David wanted to use and for the altar and everything, he says, go on and take these things. Take these things and offer them to God. And David's thinking was, I'm not going to just take them from you. Okay, I'm not going to just simply let you make this sacrifice. But the king said, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. And so he bought them, and then, of course, he made the sacrifice, and it worked. The plague was removed. But what a philosophy, right? What an outlook on life. I'm not going to give God that which costs me nothing. Why? Because he deserves my best. He deserves my sacrifice. He deserves, with whatever I can offer him, he deserves that. Friends, listen. And you might as well get used to hearing this, because as if I'm giving breath, I'm going to keep saying this. We only get one chance to do this. We only get one life to serve God. We only get one life to exercise faith. We only get one life to make a sacrifice. We only get one life to give to God. One life is all we get. One trip around this globe. And so I hope that our thinking is like that of David's. Freely I have been given, freely I will give. That why should I hold back from God? Why should I not give him my best? He deserves my best. I will not give him something that doesn't cost me anything. And I say that we should couple that with our faith, understanding that we can still make a difference. Please don't say, well, look, I've made my sacrifices in the past. I've paid my dues in the past. My work is over. No, it's not. The beauty of all this is that your greatest opportunities to serve God are probably still before you, most likely still before you. I mean, you look at Abraham. Everything we admire about this man and his faith, do you and I appreciate the fact that those sacrifices and those acts of devotion by Abraham were made in his older years? They were made in his latter years? That the things we admire about this man came into play as an old man. And so many things were accomplished by him through God as an old man. I mean, even this promise of him and Sarah having a son, even by their standards, I know they lived a little longer back then, but even by their standards, they were old people, past the age of childbearing. Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And friends, that's the story's just beginning. The things we admire about this man, the things we seek to emulate in our life, they all came unfolded, and they were all in play in the latter years of life as a man who was advanced in age. And I'm saying to you that your greatest work to God, my greatest work for God, can still be before us. That we don't need to look in the past and say, well, look what I've done before. So? Move forward, reach forward. Your greatest work for God may still be before you. In fact, you can look in history and see people, even in secular success. Ronald Reagan became governor of California at the age of 61. And then, of course, became a president, the oldest president, and one who was beloved. And so that came later on in life. Benjamin Franklin invented bifocals at the age of 70. The grandmaster of them all, Colonel Sanders, okay, he was in his 60s when he introduced, or at least made famous, that beautiful recipe, the life-changing recipe, changed the world. But he was in his mid-60s when he introduced all that to the world. You can go down the list. I mean, your greatest works for God are still before you. What if you, in your old age, and me in my old age, are able to write that note that encourages a soul to press on? What if we finally, after all the invitations we make, finally find that person who's willing to come and hear the truth and be saved and change their entire family for generations because they obey the truth? What if we write that article, preach that sermon, teach that class, write that poem? What if it's still before us? And unless we have the thinking, well, I'm going to give God my best with whatever I have, unless we think like that, we will never be able to tap into those opportunities and use them to glorify God. And so I just share these thoughts with you, friends. I thank you so much for listening patiently. But I hope we think about what Paul's saying here. It's time to move forward. It's time to reach forward. Learn from the past, but don't remain in the past. Reach forward. Reach forward with faith in Christ. Reach forward because he deserves our best. And then, of course, reach forward as a person who's going to do much more for the Lord. There's still so much more to do. And may God bless us in our service to him. It could be that you're here and you're not a child of God. I hope that you've been thinking and that you realize that now's the time. I want to come out of sin. I want to put all this guilt behind me. And by the blood of Christ, which is why we remember our Savior, You can be set free. Ephesians 1:7. It will forgive you of sin, but you have to come in contact with it. And you come in contact with that blood by obeying the gospel, which is based on the fact that He is the Son of God. And if you believe that, and you're willing to confess that before men, Romans 10:9-10, repenting of your sins, He commands us all to do that, Acts 17:30, well then be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. That's when you enter the body of Christ, and you're set free. Beautiful plan. So if you haven't done that, we persuade you with this song to do that, or if you've done some things that need to be corrected as a child of God, please do that. Move forward with the Lord as we stand and sing.